Meditate on it. Today's scripture is taken from Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 to 15. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. My fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses. While Israel moved about in the wilderness, so here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But Lord helping me, I'll drive them up just as he said.' Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance." So Hebron belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, and Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. This is the word of God. Please be seated. We invite Pastor YC for the sermon today.
Thank you. Good afternoon, church. We really thank God that for this very special day, as a historical day for us as an Agape Church. Especially want to thank a lot of people, our worship team, our AV team. You know, they come very early and they prepare months before that. You know how they have many late night meetings and then practices so that they can make the transition to the three services something that, I know you come in, you don't feel anything, right? It's just a normal. But they've done a lot of great work. And a lot. Let's give them a round of applause of appreciation. The media team, the usher team, and all the rest of it. So today, as we start off this milestone in our church, I just want to ask all of you, two questions. The first question is that, once I become a Christian, my life will be smooth sailing. True and false question, okay? Second question, God's blessing and promises will be upon me without me doing anything. Sin is of grace, and to do anything, then everything will come to me. Some of us may still subscribe to such belief, but today we shall learn from the life of Caleb, the story of Caleb, and then you should be able to answer for yourself the two questions. Who is Caleb? Some of you may know, most of you, I guess, know who is Caleb since you grew up in the church. But for the sake of others, you know, who may not know who this Caleb is all about, Caleb is one of the men, okay, one of the leader. And okay, let's go a little bit before that. God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. And they crossed the Red Sea, they came into this place called the wilderness, which is like a desert place. And that's not the place that they're supposed to stay forever. They're supposed to enter into the land of Canaan. So while they're about to enter into the land of Canaan, and the land of Canaan is already populated with many tribes. Okay, the Canaanites are all there. And they are very fierce and very unfriendly people. So Moses sent out 12 tribes, 12 spies, to go over the river of Jordan to spy out the land so that see whether do we have confidence that we can really take the land that God has promised to give to us. And the spies came back, and this is what the spies said. They, means the spies, gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here it is its fruit." If you see some of the picture before, you know, two guys carrying a stick and with a whole bunch of grapes. That is the picture of the fruits in Canaan. "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Now, based on this, these spies have done a wonderful job, right? They have completed their assignment well. Because they're spies being sent there, you're supposed to figure out, you're supposed to see all the things that you're supposed to see and come back with a report. And then so that the generals, you know, they can come with a war plan. Are we going to attack? Are we not going to attack? What should we do? So they fly the plane, they know who is where, you know, they have the city of 45, and there's this giant living there. And then, by the same time, the soil are very fertile. So it's a good place for them rather than stay in the wilderness, right? So, but let's move on. After they have sent, given this report, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Now, Caleb was so sure. Caleb is one of the 12 of the spies. And he said that, "Yeah, this is a wonderful place. Let's go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the rest of the men who had gone out with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." Often that is the predicament of our life, right? We want to do something. We know this something is very good. I feel that God called me to it, but cannot lah. We got this problem because we're not able to. Whatever the reason. The reason they're giving here is that they are stronger than we are. Okay? In verse 32 in Numbers, it says that, "And they spread among the Israelites," since they are not agreeing with Caleb, so they're going to rally the people so that they will not want to go and fight. So they go and, you know, rallying and then tell the people, and they spread among the Israelites bad report about the land they had explored. Once they were the one who said, "This is the land that flow with milk and honey." And now they say that the land where they explore devoured those living in it. All the people we saw, they are of great size or giant. We saw the Nephilim there, which is the Anak. We seemed like grasshopper in our eyes, own eyes, and we looked the same to them. What a pity. How do you look at yourself? Are you grasshopper? Do people look at you like grasshopper? I was just asking some of the parents, you know, if one day your son coming back from school, "You quiet, quiet, quiet." I say, "Why are you quiet, son?" "Because my friends say that I'm like grasshopper." I say, "Son, are you like how?" "Yes, I think I'm grasshopper." Then you see, this son got a problem, maybe a self-image problem. If you read Exodus, when God draw his people out from Egypt, the term they use that God draw his army out of Egypt. But the soldier think that they're grasshopper. They're not soldier. Talk to the NS man. Are you grasshopper or are you a soldier? They defend the nation of Singapore. We seem like grasshopper in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So the fact remains. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. The fact remains. Despite it a good job, everybody agree it's a land flowing with honey. But the decision and the interpretation can be very different. For the decision they're going to take. Caleb said that we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You ask yourself, how can Caleb be so sure? How can Caleb be so sure we can certainly do it? He also saw the giant there, right? He also saw the fortified city. But Caleb have a different spirit. Later, you know, you read the description they given to Caleb. "For we can certainly do it." But the rest of the people don't think so. They say that we can't attack those people. The nay people, okay, the one that say nay, not the yes people. They say that we can't attack those people because they are stronger than we are. And all the 1, 2, 3, 4 reason. And then the land devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. And then we seem like grasshopper in our own eyes. And we look the same to them. How terrible. When God calls us to be army and soldier of Christ, but we look at ourselves like grasshopper. And all the promises is up there, very good. But we dare not take it because we don't think we can do it. If you read the verse carefully, this is what they say. We seem like grasshopper in our own eyes. This is your own self. Right? Your own self-evaluation. The other evaluation is others' evaluation. And we look the same to them. But in the whole conversation, they never ask, how does God look at us? Today, some of self-image for the youth, the same thing. I'm not beautiful. I don't think I'm beautiful. And they say I'm not beautiful, so I'm not beautiful. I'm not precious. I'm not worthy of anything. They say I'm not worthy, so I'm not worthy. Others and yourself. Where is God in the picture? They have forgotten that this land that God has promised to them is given by God. It's a promise that God gave. You are created in His own image. You don't ask people. You ask the one who created you. You ask the artist about the picture that he draw. Not those who just go to the exhibition and criticize the painter and look at the art and then interpret anyhow they want to interpret. Where do you get your self-worth? grasshopper, or you are the great army of God. In Joshua 14, he says that, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my conviction. But my fellow Israelite who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. Right? I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So that makes them very different, right? Caleb and the rest, or Caleb, Joshua and the rest. Okay, he said that I came back, I give them a report according to my conviction. This conviction means what is really in your heart, what you truly, truly, truly believe. Do you truly, truly believe that God is good? Do you truly, truly believe that God is powerful? Do you truly, truly believe that God can change life? Do you truly, truly believe that God will provide? This is conviction. And Caleb has that conviction. And based on the conviction, he said, we can go and we can certainly take the place. We can certainly have the land. But the rest of the people, no. And they spread the bad news and make the hearts of the people melt in fear. But whatever they do, Caleb doesn't change his mind. I'm convicted. They say no. I still continue to follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Today, when you follow Christ, you can look around some of the people. Oh, they don't read Bible, you don't read Bible. You don't go church, you don't go church. No? You know. You're able to stand alone because you know who God is. Then you ask yourself, where did Caleb have such a faith? Remember, he's a first generation Christian. Huh? He was brought out of Egypt. He crossed the Red Sea. Who can deliver 1,600,000 people out of the hands of Pharaoh? Who can do it? Not a single empire can do it. Not any human power can do it. Only God can do it. And this is the God who promises us that we will have the land. Then when they were in the wilderness, there's nothing to eat. What to eat for breakfast? What to eat for lunch? Where do I get clean water to drink? From the rock shall flow the water. Every day they can go out and collect manna. This is the God and God of all Israelites. But only Caleb truly know this God well. And because of that, he has faith. If the God who can do such a mighty thing promised to me and say that the land where I went over to spy shall be my inheritance for and my children's inheritance forever, did I not believe him? Did I still doubt him? Do I still don't believe what he can do? My dear brothers and sisters, do you believe God is truly God? If you believe that God is an omnipotent God, then you will have the faith naturally. To have faith is not something difficult. It's a very natural thing when you know God. When you know who he is, you are able to rest in his power, in his goodness. And then in Numbers 14:20, again it says, not one of those who saw my glory. This is God speaking to Moses. He said, not one of those who saw my glory and the sign I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times. Not one of them who will ever see, and I promise on oath to their ancestor. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follow me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Very clearly God spoken. So this is the promise. And then you realize that the rest of the people, they are the people that who disobey, they are people that who contemn. Okay, they treated God with contempt. Don't quite believe what God say. But so there's two group of people, okay, we shall see it here. In verse 11, because they have not followed me wholeheartedly, not one of those who were 20 years old or more when they came out of Egypt will see the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. The Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he makes them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until the whole generation of those who had done evil in his sight was gone. Basically, in the eyes of God, there's only two group of people, two type of people. One is the one that who follow God wholeheartedly. One is the other group that did not follow God wholeheartedly. And for those that did not follow God wholeheartedly, God called them those who had done evil. What evil have they done? What evil had they done in the wilderness? They cannot rob the bank. They cannot do a lot of things. What the evil do they done? The evil that they have done is that they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. And God let them just die in the wilderness 40 years. Today, it's either you believe or you don't believe. You believe you will be saved. You are not believe. The Bible tells us you are being already condemned. Not that God don't want to save you, but you choose the path. A believer, a non-believer. Whether you follow God wholeheartedly or you do not follow God wholeheartedly. And you know it. Whether you follow God wholeheartedly or not. Right? So, we move on. So, how to realize God's promise? Caleb had this promise. And how did Caleb realize this promise in his life? He did not forget God's promise. He did not forget. How old were Caleb then when he... God gave him the message. How old? When he was 40 years old. And when did he really go and take on Hebron, the city? When he was 85. Let's read this. So on the day Moses swore to me, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years. In other words, for 45 years, Caleb did not forget what God has said to him 45 years ago. Do you forget what God has called you when you are a child? When you are still young? Even maybe now, God has called you into the Agape family. I call you into the faith. What have God called you? He said, by God's promise, he had kept me alive for 45 years. And since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the wilderness, so here I am today, 85 years old. Do you forget what God has said to you? Is there a point in time whereby God had given you some message, some word, a stirring in your heart? Something in you that you know that God has put in your life. But for whatever reason, busyness, life, thoroughfare, you forget about it. You try not to remember it. Or conveniently, you are forgetful. Second thing is that he did not give up. I can remember God's promise, but I already given up. Sarah and Abraham given up of having baby. Oh, you already passed the age of conceiving. No point. Oh, God promised me to have a son. Okay, thank you, God. I don't think it will happen. A promise, but okay, thank you for your good will, good wishes, but I don't think it will happen. But it actually happened. The promise become real. So did not give up. So God is faithful. When God promised, he will bring it to pass. But we must be faithful. So during that time, you realize that when Caleb and Joshua told them that we can go and conquer the land, all of them said, no. So the people are very fearful. So when you have a group of fearful people, how can you fight? You cannot fight. So end up, they decided not. And God sent them go around the wilderness for 40 years. If you are Caleb, what do you think of God? God, protect. Not fair. Because of these people, I cannot go in. Why not you send me and Joshua and Moses, three of us, three. We all go there first. Then let them think and think and think. If they want to come, they come. You know, not fair. But Joshua and Caleb was with the unbelieving generation for 40 years until all of them died. It's God's timing. Sometimes you may want to do something, but God is putting in, it's God's timing. You see, Caleb is not just, he is having this belief in God, but that faith itself can take challenges over time when things are not go according to his plan, to his wish. How I wish I can have the land earlier, right? Why must I wait 40 years? But God saved me 40 years. And at the age of 85, did he complain to God? No, he come to Joshua and say, Joshua, you remember when Moses still alive? He said that, you know, he said to you and me, those land we visited 45 years ago, now we can claim it, I want it. Give it to me. Do you see that in your life? Sometimes you don't know what happened, there's certain things, like you got stunted like that. Things are not going accordingly. But when the time comes, you see, God's will get done. And he's still as strong. And during these 40 years, let's see, he says that, I am still strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Compare yourself. If you're a Christian for the last 10 years, is your faith growing for the last 10 years? Is your trust in God more certain? Are you being able to more restful in the Spirit of God, in the hand of God? Are you able to trust God when things don't go well in life? Do you still believe that God exists? Do you still believe that God is good? Do you still believe that? After the years of testing, Caleb still believed. He said, now give me this hill country that the Lord has promised me that day, 45 years ago. Do you have something that in your heart that you have been quietly kind of push it down? Because when you're being stirred up, you don't feel good, you don't respond to it. But I pray that God will stir up your heart and your soul and your spirit again, that you will respond with faith. And then, this is the action that he takes. He's not afraid. He knows that there's a giant there. Right? Because God is with him. And with the overcoming faith, he knows that God is able to help him to slay giant. Now give me this new country that the Lord promised me that day. Read the blue one. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Everything. The Lord keep me alive. By his promise, he keep me alive for 45 years. That's promise, his word. Now, just as he said, the Lord is helping me. I will able to take the land just as God has promised us. So, but a few things. First, do not forget about God's promise. You read the word, sometimes there are things that are deposited in you. They're calling. And often the promises and the calling of God, they go hand in hand. It was a calling for Caleb. And Caleb remember that. Remember it. And then he did not forget and he did not give up. Sometimes we remember but we just give up because we don't think it can be done. We don't think we want to pay the price. We don't think it's possible. We don't. A lot of reasons. These are the people say. We are grasshopper. They are great giants. There's no way we can take them down. Third, do not be afraid. God's presence. These are the things that each one of us will go through. Each one of us have to face, even at a different season of life. The life lessons are the same. Because every life lesson will actually point us to one thing, that God is God. God is God. Do you believe that? I mean, all the theology, you can just sum it up. God is God and we are men. That's about all. And because it is God, we can trust in him. And through the journey of life, God is showing to us, our little bird brain begin to understand a little bit how faithful, how good is God. You sang the song, his goodness chasing after, running after us. How great our God. Do you really have the conviction? Say, truly God is good. Just like what Caleb said. In spite of seeing all the difficulties in front, he said, God is good. We are able to take the land. We think that this is a promise to who? To Caleb. And it's all about Caleb and his inheritance and his descendants' inheritance. Nothing to do with the rest. But often the promises that God gives to us, if we realize the promise turns to a blessing to others. How do we know that? In Joshua 21, he says that they gave them Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, with its surrounding pasture land in the hill country of Judah. Give who? Give to Caleb, right? But give to the Levites. But the fields and the villages around the city they had given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his possession. So he conquered the land. He has a part of it. So to the descendant of Aaron the priest, they gave Hebron a city of refuge for one accused of murder, Libnah, and so on. The Hebron, the area that Caleb actually conquered and claimed for his own, was dedicated out for God's use as a city of refuge. To bless who? To bless those, a city of refuge for one accused of murder. And unintentionally, you kill somebody. You don't know where to hide because they will come after you. So the safest place is to run into a city of refuge. It's a blessing. And God used whose possession to do it? Caleb's possession. Hebron city. And become one of the city of refuge. Today, when you realize the promise of God in your life, you will be blessed, just as they were blessed. The field and the village around the city, they have given to Caleb, son of Jephunneh. you get your blessing. But it's not just about your blessing. Your blessing turned into the blessing for many. Today, when you fulfill what God has given in your life, the calling, the promises that you want to realize, you will be blessed. Not just you, your family will be blessed, your church will be blessed, your friend will be blessed. So many people will be blessed because you step into that, the destiny, you step into that position that God wants you to be. Okay? Not just that, even bigger than that. At the end of chapter 14, the very last sentence, he said, Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, okay, the man of Mount Kiriath, then the land has rest from war. Since the first war, or first battle, which is the battle of Jericho, they continue to battle. They fight so many battle and war. When did it end? When will it end? It end when Caleb claimed Hebron, and the land had rest from war. Did Caleb know that Hebron, the possession that God has given to him, is going to become the city of refuge before he conquered it? He did not know. Does he know that after this war, there's no more to fight? Peace will return to the land. Does he know beforehand? He did not know. All that he knows, God, you have given me this promise. I remember and I trust you. I will claim the promise. Yes, for my own. God had promised him. But God has a bigger plan. The city Hebron become the city of refuge. And that is the last war they fought. And the land rested from war. Sometimes when we are like a jigsaw puzzle. You say, oh, nothing to do with me, the church, all these things. I'm just a little puzzle. But the puzzle, the last puzzle put in place, the whole thing is complete. In your cell group, in the ministry, when you step out and fill the gap and you become that puzzle, you find that the whole thing complete. You are blessed. And the people were blessed. Your family, the community were blessed when you step into that. So have you forgotten what the promise of God in your life? The calling, the stirring, the something, the seed that God has sown in your life. I've shared before with you, at the age of about 28 or so, I heard a call from God to ask me to serve Him full time. At the time, I just had Jingping as a little boy. And I told God, it's the wrong timing. I'm not ready. Or the timing is not right. Then I was very faithful. But I never forget that particular morning in the Sunday service. I never forget. I never give up either. And thank God that God never gave up on me. More like it. God did not give up on me. And when I finish my theological study and come back to Agape to serve, I'm already at the age of 50. I heard the calling at the age of 28. So there were almost like 20 years missing. But at 28, just like Caleb, he said that, oh, I was equally strong and vigorous to go to battle even after 45 years. I thank God that God preserved me. For the last 20 years, I was still actively serving in the church. As a deacon, as an elder, I serve in the church. And when God called me, I'm not ready. I told God, don't call me. Don't just call me alone. Since you've given me wife, you've given me children. I said, God, you call my whole family. And today I look at it, I thank God that my whole family is serving in the church. Not just my family, even my daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. I thank God for them. What a blessing. Is a blessing on me alone? Yes. But when all of them serve, are you very thankful for Jin and Jingping? Yes? It's a blessing for us. It's a blessing for many. When you step into it, if you don't do it, it won't happen. Right? So, and the land rests more. This is our church promise to us, right? We say that it is too small a thing for you to be a servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. We just pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Park. Some of the things we cannot do, but we can enable some of the things. We can participate. Thank God for the opportunity that we have. But this is just a promise. But what should we do? If you don't take it by faith, if we dare not dare to extend and enlarge a place of our tent, we dare not pull, stretch out the curtains of our inhabitants, if we hold back. We do not want to lengthen, then this thing won't happen, right? So must lengthen your cord and strengthen your stake. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nation, and the desolated place will be inhabited. It will happen. Do you believe? Today we have the three services. I want to again reiterate to say that the three services set up, okay, is not just about balancing the population, the people in the different services. No. We can do it with two services. We still have space for 11:30. But we do not, because it is not about putting more people in pocket A or pocket B or service one and service two. It's about responding to God's calling for our church as a church because of His promise, because of what He has called us to do. Go and take the land. Go out and be a blessing. We need to go out. So we need to prepare. Right? So, overcoming faith, multiplying life. There's a lot of questions. Just like before, there are a lot of questions. Can we win the war? All the Anakites are there, 45 cities. Faith will transform that into an exclamation. Wow! Caleb will not, I don't think Caleb will boast that it's my strength that I have win. He knows that God will give it to the hand. You read the Bible in Joshua. Most of the war, before they even start the battle, what did God say to Joshua? I have given you the king of Jericho, the city of Jericho, and the people of Jericho into your hand. That's God's promise. So God said that, Caleb, I've given you this place. 45 years has passed. Caleb never forget the promise of God. And he claimed it, and it was materialized and become a blessing. And it's really the blessing multiplies. So 2XYY, it will happen. Do you believe? Or you say, oh, let's try lah. If it not happen, then we just blame the pastor because he's the one come up with such a good idea. Right? But let's take it with faith. So, few things. Do not, never forget God's promise. Don't give up on God. Because God never give up on us. And then do not be afraid. God is with us. He's more powerful than you think. You think you're a grasshopper? God said, I call you my army, my great army. I draw my army from Egypt. Not a group of locusts. Great army of God. And then you will be a blessing. Thank God we are going, giving mooncake while cleaning the houses. And then later on you will hear that now we have Pasar Malam. We have a flea market for them. Become a blessing to our community. I'll just end with this saying, a quote. There are a lot of Christians who know God's promises. They quote them, they frame them, they hang them out on their walls, they even post them on social media. But they never actually possess them. What a pity. We all know so many about the knowledge of God, about the promises of God, but in our life we never promise. God can promise Caleb the place, but if Caleb do not step out in faith and believe in God and take the land, is equal to nothing. It's as good as promises frame and hang in the wall in the house of Caleb. But it will not. I want to invite our worship team to come forward. We want to sing this song in response. I want you to think, what has God been calling you? What has been the stirring in your heart? There is something that God has moved your spirit, gives you burden about. You may entertain such thought for a moment and say that no, it's not the right timing perhaps. Or I don't think, or perhaps you have different priorities now. May God help us. And we can respond to faith when we step in for the bigger plan, a bigger plot of the purpose of God for Agape. You may be the particular puzzle that you need to go and where you are. You respond to the calling of God. You will see the bigger, beautiful picture of God in Agape. And we can say, wow, God, you are absolutely awesome and good. Isn't it? We will come with all exclamation and praise Him. And praise Him. Let's sing it together.